What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge with your latest Manchester United transfer news. Lots to get into today. What's the latest on Matheus Fernandes? We'll have that. Also, bids for Bacala. Barcola. I'm on lack of sleep here. Barcola. And also the latest on Yan Diamande. Could United be going back in with a new bid for him? He was certainly somebody that was on United's radar after we didn't get Semenyo in January. Are United about to go back in? He was fantastic for Ivory Coast last night. Talking of which, big shout out to Ahmad. If you're part of our That's Football World Cup community, you'll have been with us in the early hours of the morning watching Ivory Coast beat Ecuador with a late goal from Ahmad. Big shout out for him. Didn't start the game, came on and was the match winner. So big shout out for Ahmad. Hope you're all doing very well this morning, by the way. Start of a new week, and I think it's a good time to assess where we are with Manchester United. Some interesting stuff coming in about Barcola. I sort of done a little bit of work on that. To be fair, it was a lot of people asking me on That's Football last night about the bid for Barcola, so we've done a bit of work on that. As I said, we'll talk about Yan Diamande as well, a little bit about the left-back situation. There's a few developments around Lewis Hall from what we said last night. But let's start off with the midfield situation for Manchester United and what we're expecting this week, because there are some scenarios that can play out. What I would say is Monday, last week, by Friday, we definitely had moved the Fernandes deal forward. I think at the start of last week, we were sat here going, he's a player of interest, but this could take weeks. And by the end of the week, it was like, well, we've held talks with him, we've held talks with his agent, and we're having talks with West Ham. So that's how we finished the week. How do we start the week? Well, we start the week in the situation that we ended last week. We're in talks with West Ham. The player's interested in Man United, and its personal terms are not a problem. So it's about progressing that deal this week, which I do think we will get progression this week. I wouldn't sit here and say, I think we'll get here we go. We might, but I definitely think that this week will be a big week for Manchester United and the signing of Matheus Fernandes. For a few reasons, really. One, we're very advanced on this. And two, we are approaching the end of June. There's only 2 weeks left of June. Then it's a new financial year. The transfer window does officially open today as well, which has some relevance, I suppose. It's the cutoff for Barcelona to pay Man United $25 million for Rashford, which they're not going to do. But I think more important, it's the financial year. I feel that West Ham will want to get a sale done in this financial year, and I think Man United have got the money to do a deal in this financial year. So I think by the end of June, which is 2 weeks away, I think we will see something happen. And when you think about, well, it'd be a lot to do next week, I think we will progress it this week. And also, I think if United are going to sign Fernandes, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, he's expected to come to us, if we are going to sign him, then there's not a lot more to do other than to get to a point with West Ham where there is an agreement on a deal, which we expect is probably going to be around £80 million, including add-ons. The interesting thing is Real Madrid are still lurking, and I'd be wrong not to update you with what Ben Jacobs said last night. Of course, we're getting quite a lot of late. It's the good thing about doing the World Cup watch-alongs, actually, is you get, you know, you're live at 1:30 in the morning, and people like Fabrizio Romano and Ben Jacobs, etc., who are out in the States, they're dropping transfer updates in the early hours. So not only am I enjoying watching the World Cup, it's actually very, very beneficial for transfer news around Man United. So what came in late early this morning was that Enzo Fernandez is really pushing for a move to Real Madrid, Chelsea are probably going to want £120 million. How does that fit in with us? Well, Ben Jacobs said Enzo Fernandez is a player of interest to Real Madrid, but so is Mateus Fernandez. So look, we've got to be a little bit careful. I mean, the dream scenario for me is that we get Mateus Fernandez to go with Ederson, then Real Madrid go and buy a midfielder, then we get Tchouaméni. We end up with Tchouaméni and Mateus Fernandez, right? So that's great. The worst case scenario is they sign Mateus Fernandez and they keep Tchouaméni and we end up with either. So we can't control that, but it is just something to bear in mind that Real Madrid are still lurking around Mateus Fernandez. Now, what I think will happen is that, and I saw an update from Lookhurst yesterday, and I really didn't want to bring it into the show because I thought it was a load of nonsense. And he was basically saying that, I think it was Real Madrid, have backed off in a deal for Mateus Fernandez because he's chosen Man United. And I thought, you know what? That's the sort of fantasy nonsense that somebody who's not very popular writes to try and be popular, because Mateus Fernandez is highly unlikely to have said, have snubbed Real Madrid for Man United. I mean, it could have happened, but I doubt it. I think what's probably happened is that Man United are really sure that they want the player and Real Madrid aren't. And therefore, the player is going, well, let's get on with the deal. And that's what's happening. I also think from a Real Madrid point of view, if they really wanted him, they probably would have moved by now. Because if you look at that Cucurella deal, yesterday morning, no one was talking about it. Yesterday evening, he's a Real Madrid player. I think Real Madrid like Mateus Fernandez, but I don't think they like the profile. And what I mean is, I don't think they like the he's only 21 and had one season for West Ham, and this is Jose Mourinho taking over Real Madrid, whereas Enzo Fernandez comes in as a very shiny Argentinian World Cup winning Champions League midfielder. I think they will go for Enzo Fernandez over Mateus Fernandez because the status of the signing is bigger. Now, Real Madrid have bought players who were young before, Rodrigo, Bellingham, Camavinga, Vinicius Jr. They it's not that they won't buy younger players, but I think Enzo Fernandez is more of a status signing, and I think they would rather make that signing. So that's good for us as well. So look, I think with Mateus Fernandez, a very big week for Man United. I don't want to say it, but I feel like we might get a here we go this week or an Ornstein bomber. I feel like we might. I'm sort of swaying towards sort of 80% chance that we do. I feel that we will come out this week with that. Not the holding up the shirts or anything like that. I think that will be next week, but or maybe in July. But I mean, the reality is July is not that far away. We talk about, you know, when we got Ederson and we speak about the first week of July, it's actually not that far away. It's 2 weeks and we're in July, and then World Cup finals like the 20th of July, and then you're 3 weeks away from the start of the Premier League. So you do need to move quickly, certainly. But I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing, and I do think something will happen with Mateus Fernandez this week. So keep your eye on that one. Good morning to everybody. Sorry, I've just been talking at you a little bit there. Thanks for all the comments that are coming in. I'll read those super chats in a moment. Joey says, I don't think we'll be I don't think we will pay 80 million, so we'll be negotiating. We won't pay 80 million, no. I mean, we're not going to pay 80 million up front, but we will pay 80 million as a package. And I think some people get a bit funny about add-ons. For me, if we pay 60 million plus 20 in add-ons, we're paying 80 million. Otherwise, it's a flop. So add-ons are relevant. And I always assume that we're going to pay the add-ons, because if we don't, they're a flop. Let's talk about this Barcola bid. First of all, I just want to say that Barcola would only be leaving PSG so that they could sign someone like Yann Diamande. I have to say this. I'm very positive about the Mateus Fernandez deal, and I think we will get it done. But one of my big reservations about United in general and this summer is this reluctance to pay what it takes to get good players. Now, I was doing the Ivory Coast game last night, as I say, great goal by Ahmad, but the amount of people in the chat who were going, this Yann Diamande is really good. And he is really good, but he's been really good at Leipzig. You know, what I saw with Yann Diamande yesterday was what I've been seeing at Leipzig, you know, doing the Bundesliga coverage on Match Football. He's a very, very good player. And that's why Leipzig are looking for 100 million euros or 80 million pounds or whatever it is. United wanted Yann Diamande straight after not getting Semenyo in January. This was the player that they put out there that they were going to go for. And this was the player that all the board were happy to go for, whether it be Favel, Wilcox, Carrick, whatever. They really like him. This is the player we want to go for. And then what happened is, in March, April, PSG and Liverpool came along and United suddenly didn't want him anymore. And that's fine, but, you know, you watch him last night and that's what he's been doing all season. If we were bidding for Semenyo and he went to Man City and we wanted a player like that, if you actually watch Diamande, his profile is very similar to Semenyo, but he's 19. He could be way better than Semenyo. And I think that yet again, here is a player that United really like and really wanted, but have walked away from because of the price. And that does concern me because, all right, you might not like Anderson and you might not like Tonali, but that's the third player now in 6 months that we've gone, we really like you, you're really high on our list, but we can't afford to pay it or we won't pay it. And I think with Diamande, he's not going to be coming to Manchester United, but he definitely was a player that we were pivoting towards after Semenyo. And I do think he's a player that we probably, it's a shame we're not going to go for him because, you know, obviously the picture of him and Ahmad and people are going, Agent Ahmad. I mean, I don't think Ahmad can do any more than say, come to Man United. And then he says, yeah, but they're not going to bid for me. I mean, people say Agent Maynou with Anderson, but he ain't writing the checks. I'm sure Maynou could play a part in getting Anderson to Old Trafford if we were bidding. I'm sure Ahmad could play a part in getting Diamande to Man United if we were bidding, but we're not bidding for these players. So, and I genuinely do think Ahmad could persuade him. And I genuinely do think Maynou could persuade Anderson. But as a club, we're not bidding for them. So there is no persuasion. There is nothing. We can't make players come to the club if we're not going to bid for them. And trust me, watching Yann Diamande potentially run up and down the wing for Liverpool next season, tearing it apart, does frustrate me a little bit. I mean, hopefully he'll go PSG. But it will frustrate me if I see Anderson tearing it up for Man City. And Liverpool are vulnerable as well. We're better than Liverpool at the moment. We finished higher than Liverpool. They've got a new manager. It frustrates me a little bit that a player of that quality that we wanted, we've backed off and he's going to go to Liverpool potentially because he was man of the match last night, but he's a very, very good player and he can also switch. He was playing right wing and that Touré, who we've been looking at from Hoffenheim, was on the left and Ahmad was on the bench. Touré came off, Ahmad came on the right and Diamande went to the left and was just as good. I mean, he had Hincapié on toast. So, as I say, you don't scout people on the World Cup. You need to know about them before the World Cup. And we know about Yann Diamande, very, very good player. But unfortunately, it is another player that United have said that's too expensive. And I know some of you agree with that. And I've got some exciting news for the financial accountant, United fans. You're going to get very excited in a minute. But personally, I'm not on board with this. I'm a United fan that's seen us go out and spend what it takes.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's overpaying. Sometimes you need to do it, but spending what it takes is the word I would say. We shouldn't be operating in a transfer market with limitations. We shouldn't be saying we're not going to pay that or over that, and we shouldn't be saying we're not going to give wages over that. You need to spend what it takes to get the best, because that's why how you end up with Wayne Rooney in a Man United shirt. That's how you end up with Roy Keane in a Man United shirt. Because if we'd had the mentality of the board today, back then, Rooney wouldn't be a Man United player. Roy Keane would be playing for Blackburn. Now, Roy Keane was going to Blackburn. The deal was done. Kenny Dalglish went off for a golfing holiday on the weekend. Blackburn thought they had a deal with Roy Keane. Sir Alex Ferguson came in, had a chat. He signed for United. And with this current ownership, Roy Keane would have gone to Blackburn. And that worries me. worries me. You can disagree with me, but it worries me because in our history, we've swooped in and paid what it takes to get the right players. And at the moment, we're going, we won't pay that. Now, some of you, you run for the Kleenex, you get very excited. But I disagree with that. I do disagree with that. It's like last night. This is exactly the problem. Some of our fans have become accountants who, you know, praise the Glazers for saving money, even though they've put us into £1 billion of debt. You couldn't write it. But last night, Romano was talking about Amrin being close to taking the AC Milan job. And he said that will save Man United a little bit of money because he won't get as much compensation. And people were running around going on social media getting excited. Oh, another win for Ineos. Probably be about £5 million. And some United fans are going, yes, get in. We're going to save £5 million. I mean, what a bunch of prats. What's that £5 million going to do for you? Won't have anything to do with bloody transfers, will it? Just spend what it takes to get good players. On a Saturday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday or a Sunday, ultimately, I just want to see the best players playing for Man United, playing the best football, so we can compete with the best teams. People like Yam Diamande should not be being walked away from because of the price, especially when last summer we literally did a deal with Leipzig and Favel has a good relationship with Leipzig. But we're cutting costs, aren't we, I suppose. On Barcola, let me talk to you about Barcola. Now, there was some... I thought it was preposterous, but it is still floating around. There were some stories yesterday about Man United bidding for Barcola. And again, this morning. We've done the homework. That's what we're meant to do for you on a new show every morning at 10 o'clock on the United Stand. And nobody credible is talking about Barcola to Manchester United. I don't even know the origin of the story. If someone in the chat knows, I've seen it around there, but I don't know who started it. But there is absolutely nothing about Barcola to Manchester United. Absolutely nothing. He is being looked at by Arsenal and Liverpool and a couple of other clubs, but PSG apparently don't even want to sell him. So where Man United factor into this, I just do not know. Would I take Barcola at Man United? Because you never know. The transfer window can be very strange, as we saw with Cucurella yesterday. Teams and deals can get done in 24 hours, sometimes 12. Would I take Barcola at Man United? I mean, I think he's a decent player, but I mean, I think if we're buying a winger like that, then we should be looking at somebody like Diamande. But look, we're talking a hypothetical situation that I just don't see United doing it. And PSG would want good money. I would take him over not buying a left winger. I'll be honest, he's a good player. I don't know why people would say no to that. I've just said I'd like us to go and get Yan Diamande and I'd pay £80 million for him. I would pay £80 million for Yan Diamande, by the way. I know some people think it's a lot of money, but I would pay that for somebody who's 19 who, if he's already as good as Semenyo now, imagine what he's going to be like in 3 years' time. I really do think that, Yan Diamande is worth the money, but I probably would sign. I mean, look, ultimately, again, I'm not going to be an accountant here. Some people in the chat are saying, no, we need to spend the money elsewhere. Again, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not playing the game of helping the Glazers out by saying, don't buy a left winger because we can't afford it. If we're buying a left winger and Barcola's the option, I'd be very happy with that. Rory says, you also avoid Sancho and Antony. Don't know the context there, but thanks for the super chat. Shop, thank you very much for your super chat as well. Form says, haven't watched in a while. Lots going on right now. We're moving from Scandinavia to Africa in a couple of months. We'll make sure to stay connected to the community for familiarity and moral support, says Forms. Well, look, mate, it's always a bit daunting when you're moving, but the community doesn't move. We're always here, whatever country you are. Thanks for being part of the United Stand community and good luck for with you and your family on your future move. Irish Ghost says, why sign Ederson this financial year if we had £65 million to spare for Semenyo? We've just reduced our budget for the targets. Irish Ghost, a little bit of clarity there. Ederson has not been signed in this financial year. He's been signed. He'll be signed in July in the next financial year. Matt says, when Carrick was Ollie's assistant, we had McFred 2-8 and no natural 6. With our midfield targets, it looks like he might be making that mistake again. Yeah, we spoke about this a little bit, Matt. We're going to talk about the left back next, but we spoke about this a little bit over the weekend in relation to the midfielders that we're actually looking at. Now, if you sign a Tchouaméni, you're buying somebody with defensive qualities. If you buy Fernandez, Edison and Belaba or Scott or whatever, you do look at it and go, a lot of inexperience, but also not really somebody with amazing defensive qualities. So look, McTominay and Fred didn't really have amazing defensive qualities either. I mean, it would be a scary proposition if Michael Carrick is basically going to repeat history of what Ollie did. Same style of football and try and make it work. I mean, but that would be naive on Carrick's part and also the board's part. But, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. What I will say is I'm still very optimistic about this summer transfer window. Yes, I'm frustrated by the unwillingness to pay what it takes. I think if you know you want this player and he's a really good player. Look, as I said to you before, if Yann Diamande is going to cost £80 million and, I don't know, Touré from Hoffenheim is going to cost 40, they're both like 19, 20. Okay, that's a £40 million difference. But Yann Diamande could be one of the best wingers in the world for the next 5 years. It's worth the 40 million, isn't it? It's what I mean. Pay what it takes to get the player that you're sure on. Otherwise, you're risking paying twice. And also, you know what? If you want me to be really blunt, right? Yann Diamande is too expensive, right? It's too expensive, yeah? Yann Diamande becomes one of the best wingers in the world. And he does it at our biggest rival. That's worth the money. That's worth the extra money. Overpaying, I would say, overpaying is paying what it takes to get the right player. Sometimes. And also, you pay £80 million for him now. In 5 years' time, he's worth 150. One thing you can be absolutely guaranteeing about is that if you buy a winger that's decent, they will go north of £120 million very, very quick, very, very quickly. And, you know, he is... I wouldn't say he's Ronaldo or Messi good, but he definitely could be Vinicius Jr. or someone like that. He could. He's a very good player. But look, United won't pay. We don't pay. I've just been sent something here. Let me have a quick look what I've been sent by one of our producers. Manchester United are reportedly considering cheaper midfield alternatives with Hayden Hackney and Shea Charles on their shortlist. Southampton value Charles at around £30 million. I mean, I'll tell you what. If our summer, this is coming in from Corriere dello Sport in Italy. So why they'd know that Man United are looking at championship midfielders, I do not know. But I'll tell you this for free. My optimism and excitement about this summer transfer window will be flushed down the toilet if our summer transfer window midfield recruitment is Edison, Mateus Fernandez and Hayden Hackney. I mean, if that's our summer, we may as well take the Man United sign down off Old Trafford and put Everton there. I mean, Hayden Hackney, Mateus Fernandez and Edison as our midfield rebuild would be about as inspiring as a dog shitting on your windscreen. Dog? Pigeon. A dog shitting on your windscreen would be actually... That would blow my mind. I'd be like, the dog's done that on purpose. He's actually climbed up onto the roof, positioned himself and shat on my windscreen. I mean, that's a protest of some sort. What is this super dog? But no, it would not be very inspiring. And all due respect to Mateus Fernandez, Edison and Hayden Hackney. But if you told me that was going to be our midfield three recruitment in April, I'd have cried. I'd have cried. Yeah. As I say, it's not about the individual players. It's about what they represent. Do they represent ambition or do they represent a board without ambition? It would be terrifying. That would. Mateus Fernandez, Edison and a Tchouaméni or a Tonali is a very good midfield. Mateus Fernandez, Edison and a Hayden Hackney or a Tyler Adams or a Belaba
is uninspiring.
It's a bit like, you know what it is? It's a bit like, you know, you get all the ingredients for a chocolate cake, you know, and you bake the cake and you put the filling in the cake and there's the chocolate cake and all you've got to do is ice it, yeah? And instead of going and you're getting a really nice chocolate cream icing, you go in the garden and you get a big steaming dog shit and you put it in there. That's probably a bit too far, but this midfield that we're building, it is about the three layers and the three shelves, as we call it. So we've got to get it right. But look, if we went for somebody like Hayden Hackney or Shay Charles from Southampton, they're working their projects as well. Mateus Fernandez is a project and Edison is a project, because a project is something that's not ready to hit the ground running. And none of those players are ready to hit the ground running. They've all got to be given time. And my question would be, how can Omar Berada sit there and talk about winning the league next season, and if not that, the season after? And then we're buying projects. It's complete hypocrisy. If we really want to try and win the league in the next 2 years, you go and buy players that are ready to go. Thank you very much for that update. Irish Ghost is back again. He said, I should have worded it better. Apologies. United have to sign someone before July. If we don't, then waiting until the new financial year to sign Edison makes no sense. It reduces the budget for others. Exactly. And this goes back to, if you've tuned in a little bit later, we were talking about Mateus Fernandez at the start of the show. I definitely think that over the next 2 weeks, we'll get that deal over the line, because Irish Ghost is absolutely spot on. We've moved Edison to July to give ourselves freedom in June to go and do something. It's a clever move, actually, because a lot of clubs have to wait till July to do their business because they've got nothing left in this financial year. And it works twofold if you can, because if you can buy before the end of June, some people would say, well, I'll just wait till July, but it's really attractive to the selling club. So for Man United, if we're in a bit of financial problems and we've got someone to sell and somebody comes in the last week of June and says, there's the price now, it can really suit you to put it in that financial year. It's what's happened with Chelsea and Cucurella, if we're being honest. Chelsea have done that deal quickly because they want that in that financial year, and they'll sell again in the next financial year. So Irish Ghost is right. You know, I think it's good that we've got money to spend in the next 2 weeks before the end of the financial year. And there will certainly be, realistically, there's probably some bargains to be done as well. We'll have to wait and see what we do, though. Tchouaméni earns 210 grand a week. We won't pay over 250. Is this a problem? We won't get in with a 40K a week pay rise. Some players are worth the extra, says Blame. Shifter, I mean, do not get me started on wages. I mean, we're talking about giving Bruno 375 grand a week, but we won't give new signings over 200. I mean, you're literally creating a ridiculous situation. You know, you do need to have a balance of squad. Some players, you've got to pay what it takes. You've got to pay what people are worth. If you bring a genuine 250 grand a week player in, they're going to be better than everyone else who's on under 200 grand a week. The problem is we gave 250 to Mason Mount, and that hurts. But not everyone's going to be a Mason Mount. That's just bad recruitment. Curly Bob says, I want to shout out Mazraoui for his fantastic performance the other day. Didn't go unnoticed. He should be getting picked next season. Well, we spoke about that over the weekend. Maybe you missed that, but you're absolutely spot on, pal. We'll talk about fullback now. Red Devil 345 says, hi, Mark. If we don't get Lewis Hall, what do you think of Cadioglu from Brighton and then maybe Livramento for right back? Oh, you're making me tired, Red Devil. I mean, you've just literally said if we don't get Lewis Hall and then you're going for another Newcastle player. The problem with buying a player from Newcastle will be Newcastle. I don't think we can go, we didn't get Lewis Hall, now let's go and get Livramento. They're going to be very difficult to deal with, because it's Newcastle. Now, I read an article in the Chronicle today or yesterday about how, and the Chronicle is based in Newcastle, and they were saying that Newcastle are open to selling Livramento, Hall and Tonali, but they won't be rushed and they'll do it on their own terms. Now, Newcastle have already done a deal with Anthony Gordon.
I think it might be interesting to test their resolve in the next couple of weeks with Lewis Hall, because if they're looking to do deals, maybe they'd like to get a deal, another deal done before the end of the financial year. And also maybe they'd like to get deals done early so they can do deals themselves. I think the big thing to observe with Newcastle is, I think they're the sort of club, and we saw it last summer with Isak, they won't want to sell a player before they've got a replacement in. So if you see Newcastle sign a left back, I'd get very excited. And I've not heard anybody say this yet, but absolutely that will happen. They will not sell. And probably this, well, Tonali's not going to happen, is he? I mean, I'd like Tonali. But I think in relation to Lewis Hall, if you see Newcastle signing a left back, I'd get very excited. Also with Chelsea, interesting update from Fabrizio Romano overnight as well. Basically, he said that although Cucurella leaving means that Chelsea will be in the market for a left back, don't sleep on Hatto. They really rate him at Chelsea. And bringing a left back in might be somebody to supplement Hatto already there. So they might not go for Lewis Hall, Newcastle. I think a lot of that was just Cucurella's gone to Chelsea. They've got a bit of money. They're going to bring a left back in. Lewis Hall was at Chelsea. I don't know necessarily that they will go for Lewis Hall. But as I said last night, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if they do, because I think it's a good thing. Because look what's happened with Fernandes. If we had no competition for Matheus Fernandes, we'd be sat there dropping a new bid every 2 weeks, saying we're relaxed. But because there's competition, United are having to move quite quickly. When I was speaking to somebody over the weekend and they said, look, United are moving really quick on this. And it shows you that they can do that. And they're only moving quickly because they're worried about the PSGs, the Real Madrids and the Arsenals just changing their mind, which is another reason why I think we'll move even quicker this week. Because I think if you were at Man United at the moment and you're trying to get the Matheus Fernandes deal done, you'd be talking to your negotiation team saying, look at what Real Madrid have just done this weekend. And what Real Madrid did this weekend is Cucurella was actually in talks with Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. Real Madrid weren't even involved. Real Madrid go and sign him in a day. So I think United will be slightly shitting themselves this morning. Not on your car windscreen, but if you know, you know. But they will look at that Real Madrid deal, and it is a concern. It's why I mentioned what Ben Jacobs said about Matheus Fernandes being a consideration for Real Madrid. While it's a consideration, we're okay. But if they decided to move, we'd be in trouble. Because what Real Madrid have shown in this transfer window is, if they want something, they're very, very fast. And that Cucurella deal will have resonated across football, but also in the Man United boardroom, because they'll be going, we might be winning this race at the moment, but if Real Madrid go for him, they're like a bloody rocket. They'll whiz through and it'll be done. So, and also, Jorge Mendes is the agent of Jose Mourinho. And at the end of the day, Jorge Mendes is probably going to help Mourinho out more than he's going to help Man United. We have a good relationship with him, but, you know, so I expect Man United to move very quickly, because you cannot just sit there going Real Madrid aren't going to do anything, because if they do, like that. So I think that, as I said, I can't sit here and say, here we go this week, but I feel like we're not far off getting that Matheus Fernandes deal done, certainly. Hi, Mark. I'm from South Africa. I watch your show every day. I love the information on your show. Keep up the great work, says Cassian. Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in. Let us know where you're watching from this morning. Somebody in the chat just said that the Moroccan lad has just signed for Bayern Munich. Here we go. But Medieval has come out with a better here we go. He says, Medieval method, I'm heading to Greg's. Here we go. I haven't had a Greg's. I probably haven't been in a Greg's for post-COVID. I used to have, and I don't even know what it's called now. When I used to go to Greg's, I would have, is it a cheese and bean melt? It was like a pastry with cheese and baked beans in it. I used to have one of them. And sometimes it would be hotter than the bloody sun. You'd bite into it, you go, But no, I've not been for a long time. You're making me think. You're making me want to Greggs now. How do you think the summer will be out of 10? Well, I tell you what, we haven't put up for ages, and I might have to sack Matt, the producer. Don't worry, he'll be asleep. He's staying up late watching the World Cup. We haven't looked at the hotometer in ages. So let's get it up. Let's have a look at the last hotometer, because this will probably be completely and utterly out of date. So Edison, 9 out of 10. Well, he's already signed. Mateus Fernandez at 8. I would agree with that. Elliot Anderson, I would drop down to... I wouldn't even have him there now. I would take him out completely. Not in that way. I mean, just not. Don't put him on the hotometer. Tchouaméni, I would say is... I would still keep... Personally, I think some people might drop him down to a 4. I would still keep him at a 6, but that's because of stuff I sort of know. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it can happen quite quickly if certain things happen. So I'd still keep Tchouaméni as a 6. Lewis Hall, I probably would still keep at a 6, if I'm being completely honest. Yes, we're interested. Yes, he's not totally happy at Newcastle, but Newcastle are the problem there. They could price us out. They could make him stay. So I'd still say he's only a 6. Belaba, I'd be probably, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, I'd probably drop Belaba to a 5 and say he's 50-50. I wouldn't say he's a 6 now. I do think United are trying to avoid that deal, but he would only come into play if we mess up deals. So I'd put him as a 5. And I'd say Alex Scott's probably a 5 as well. Who would I replace Anderson with? Who would I replace Anderson with? I mean, I'd love to replace him with Yan Diamande or Buadi, but I think that I would probably say... Morgan Rogers at a 4. Or you could keep Elliot. No, yeah, I think that'd be about right. Do you think we'll sign Buadi?
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I think we're only talking about him because he had a very good World Cup game. I mean, as we know, deals can happen very quickly. But I think the fact that Rio Ferdinand posted an AI picture of Buadi in a Man United kit completely fucked that deal up anyway. I mean, if Rio Ferdinand's talking about it, he may as well do the opposite. Because he's still in a train station saying, I'm here and it's Qatar. And he's still writing out lifetime contracts for Solskjaer. So, yeah, with Rio Ferdinand endorsing Man United signing Buadi, I'd say that that has basically killed any chance of that happening. Patrick Lynch says, players from the Premier League clubs being sold to Real, Barca, PSG or Bayern happen quickly because they aren't rivals of the selling club. United doing deals with Premier League clubs will always be slower. I mean, so that's a fair. That's fair. It's fair. I agree with you. It is fair. There was a time where Spurs were very happy to sell to Real Madrid, but would never look at Spurs with Harry Kane. They were never going to do a deal with us. They were never going to do a deal with that. Greg says, why do you think Scott's so cold now? Well, I'd have Scott as a 5. I'd move him up to a 5, which is a 50-50 chance. I think with Alex Scott, I feel that Alex Scott is a alternative to Fernandez. I don't feel he is coming with Fernandez. Now, if we hear he is, I'll move him up the hotometer. But my feeling is that we are interested as an alternative. Whereas, you know, I'd like to sign Alex Scott. I think he's a good player. People are getting very excited about cheese melts now. Or are they calling Rio Ferdinand a melt? No, they're not. The Marcus melt. I fancy a bit of Welsh rabbit, says Mustafa, which is very nice. Jackie says, give Anana a cheese bean melt and the beans will slip out. Stretford Elite says, Alex Scott needs to make it clear he's leaving. Yes. I think that this is really important from Lewis Hall and Alex Scott. And I'm not here to advise them, because Alex Scott could end up in a Liverpool shirt and I'd rather see him in a Bournemouth shirt. But if I was him, and I forget how old he is, I think he's a really talented player, by the way. I really like Alex Scott. And, you know, ultimately, I'm a Man United fan. I'm not a Bournemouth fan. He's going to be 23 in August. You could say I'm going to stay for another year and I'll only be 24. But apparently he's a Spurs fan as well. Didn't know that. Does that make me worry about his judgment? But if I was Alex Scott and I was his agent or friend, I would say Bournemouth has been great for you and you do owe them, you know, that platform. But they're going to earn 60 million quid out of you with 2 years left on your contract. You're going to be 23 in August. You've missed out on the World Cup by that. So Tuchel likes you. If you sign for Man United or Liverpool in August, Tuchel's going to really like you in the international qualifications for the Euros, and you'll go to the Euros at 25. Sorry, 24. It'll be 24, won't it? Because it'll be 2 years' time. If you stay at Bournemouth and they struggle with Europe and Premier League and end up in the bottom half of the table, you're probably not going to be getting in the England squad. And you'll have also signed a contract where your release clause is 75 million and no one's going to pay it if Bournemouth have a bad season. So it's the harsh reality of football, but you can see the problem. If he goes now, he says, I'm going. He's got 2 years left on his contract. Reasonably, that deal's going to be around 60. If he stays, he's going to have a release clause of 75. And if Bournemouth have a bad season, no one's going to want to pay it. And Bournemouth next year, with the Europa League and the Premier League and a new manager, I can see them struggling next year. So if I was him, I'd say, I want to go and join Man United. But then again, I am very biased. Mr. Way, thank you very much for your super chat. Eugene says, I'm hearing it's Bouadi. Taking the piss, isn't he? Look, Rio was a very good footballer, but I just feel like he's one of those... If he was a newspaper, he'd be the Daily Star. You know, I don't know whether he's figured out. Like, you know, you look at some ex-players who sit there on panels like Thierry Henry, and he's an ex-player talking, who's played at a very high level, talking about football. And then you got Rio, who seems to want to be a member of the Sidemen. You know, he's like an influencer. He's just like, how do I get my next big statement out there? But look, I'd love it if we did sign Bouadi. I really do. I really would. Why don't we move like... Dissect says, why don't we move like Real Madrid? They sign players so fast. Because I can answer this question really easy, and I know it's a fact, right? We can't move quickly like Real Madrid or Liverpool have in the past because we're owned by the Glazers. And if I'm Jason Wilcox and an opportunity presents itself now, I can't move quick enough because I've got too many people that need to sign it off. So I've got I've got too many people that need to sign it off. The Glazers, etc. So yeah, it becomes a problem. Sorry, I've just been sent something here. I'm just trying to see how true it is. If we don't get Lewis Hall, where would Man United pivot? I don't know. Sabari from PSV to Bayern, here we go. That's just come out. There has been talk about Rashford to Bayern, but I think, to be honest, I think they might have moved away from it now because of his wages. I mean, I don't know whether that's true. I think it would be I think it would be a massive. I think Rashford at Bayern would do very, very well. But, you know, the problem that we have is the problem that he's got and everybody else has got. It was. It's a huge amount of money, isn't it? His wages are massive. Would you take Kamada and thoughts on Sweden's big wins as raids? I mean, this is the great thing about the World Cup. I'm not here to talk about the World Cup. Get yourself onto That's Football. It's a great community. We've got Spain at 5 o'clock, Belgium and 8, Egypt at 8, and then Uruguay at 11. It might be a Garte watch. But I didn't watch the Sweden game because it was on at 3 a.m. and I haven't seen the highlights yet. But they beat Tunisia 5-1. So a great win for them. Would I take Kamada? No, this is a great point. I'm not taking Kamada. I'm not taking Hayden Hackney. I'm not taking Tyler Adams, because although they're decent midfielders, we've already got Edison and we're very close to getting Mateus Fernandez. So you're telling me my midfield for Man United this summer is Edison, Kamada and Mateus Fernandez. It's just not good enough. As a three, individually, they're good players, but the balance is completely wrong. You need a marquee signing, a Mateus Fernandez and an Edison. You don't need Mateus Fernandez, Kamada and Edison. It's all about the balance of the midfield. I'm not taking a pop at any of these players individually, but you know, we've got a kid in Mainu. We can't then just bring in an imbalanced midfield on experience as well. Everybody knows that the Casemiro replacement needs to be a marquee signing. Somebody has got to do that. Greg says, what about Kessie? Look, I was very impressed with Ivory Coast. You can tell they've got depth when they're putting Amad on the bench. And you can also tell that they've got depth when Diamande, the Sporting centre-back, is on the bench as well. So they've got some good players, Ivory Coast. But I don't want to scout in the World Cup for players. Kessie plays in the Saudi League and is 29 now. That would concern me. So no, I don't think we don't need to find our midfielder in the World Cup. Our next midfielder might be playing in the World Cup, but we should have scouted them way before. We can't, you know, Jason Wilcox shouldn't be watching, you know, staying up late at night watching games saying I've found as a midfielder. We should already know who our midfielder is. If they're playing in the World Cup, great. But thank you for the comment, Rays. I thought United was going to spend big this summer, says Shane. Well, we have still got... I don't know what's wrong with that. Look, there is still a lot of this transfer window to go. If we get Fernandez done in the next week or two, we're on track, because we'd have Edison and Fernandez before the end of June. That would be a good... that would be good. If we've got two midfielders secured by the end of June, that would be good. I wouldn't say it's amazing, but it's certainly better than you might expect. We'd be averaging, you know, a signing every couple of weeks if you take June the 1st as the real start of the transfer season. And you'd have July and August to get another four players in. So I'm saying minimum of six decent signings. Would you be happy, says Manchester We Stand, would you be happy with Fernandez, Edison, I don't know who that other person is, Coxie already scouted Sitol in the very first game, job done, says Tantric, and do you think Fernandez will be our big signing, says Killian. I don't want Mateus Fernandez to be our star signing, because a player that is 21, he should be the middle signing, but it might be. It might be. I think he probably is going to be. I think the fact that we're willing to pay £80 million as a package for him suggests that he probably will be the star signing of the summer, which has its element of risk, but also has its element of excitement as well. I'd have been a lot more comfortable if he'd have been the middle player and then an Anderson or a Tonali or Tchouaméni was coming in as well. But maybe part of getting him to come to Man United is saying that he's going to start. You know, maybe he has got offers and he's saying, I'll come to you if I'm starting. I won't come to you if I'm sitting on the bench. So might be to do with that. And I agree with Laura. It does put pressure on Fernandez as well. And I also think as well, something that the club really don't acknowledge and do very well with is that we're not really a football club that is patient anymore. And that's not the fans' fault, that's the club's fault. So, you know, I don't. You look at Dorgu, you look at Ugarte, you look at Xerxes, you look at Dalit, you look at Mazraoui, you look at Yoro. We're not patient with our signings. And I agree with that. I know it's harsh on the players, but we're, as a fan base, we're not patient. We're not patient with managers. We're not patient with players. Why should we be? We've not been near a league title for 13 years. Every project fails. Why should we be patient? Why should we sit back and wait and watch something for 2 years and see if it works again? So I don't think there's any patience in this fan base, and I understand it. So United need to be very careful about bringing players in who need to grow, because it's not really the environment. We, Man United, we can't buy seeds. We don't feed them. We need to buy the proper, you know, already grown. Bit of breaking news coming in as well. Here we go. Last 2 minutes. Ruben Amorim to AC Milan. Here we go. New head coach. Verbal agreement done on deal until June 28, plus option until June 29. Amorim has accepted all conditions and will sign this week as the new Milan manager. Well, I personally wish him all the best. I mean, I think he's sort of, in a way, out of the fire and into the chip pan. I think that AC Milan are definitively the Man United of Italy, in the sense that they're a huge club who has fallen on their arse. So it's a brave move by Amorim, because, you know, Italian football, they've not qualified for a World Cup since 2014. AC Milan have been shit for ages. So, you know, it's it is a very brave move. And the Italian league is very competitive. You've got teams like Inter Milan in there, Napoli. It's tough. So that's I mean, I think that's a testament to the man, though. You know, whatever you think about Amorim, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't scared of taking challenges on, and he wasn't scared in backing himself. But I hope he goes well for him, because if it goes wrong there, you know, it'll be once bitten, twice shy, won't it? But hopefully he will do well. Certainly be interested. I think we're playing AC Milan as well, aren't we, in a pre-season game? And also, if you're an accountant fan of Man United, that's probably saved us £5 million as well. So don't forget to get excited about that when all the client journalists of Man United make a big deal about it and glaze the glazers. Do you think it will go well for Amorim? Well, I suppose we're in that position where... Look, I think that's 50-50. I mean, I think you could give Pep Guardiola that job and he'd need a lot of support. I think AC Milan is like Man United. You can bring a good manager in, but if you don't give them the infrastructure, they'll fail. And it's the same at Man United. If we'd brought Thomas Tuchel in or Ancelotti, you'd still need to give them a lot of support. You would. Laura says, if you speak out at this club, you get sacked. He was telling some truths as well. Raul says, we need a six, not an eight. How many eights do we need? Signing four midfielders, it's not good enough. We need a specialist six, not a load of midfielders. Thank you very much. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Everybody who's been watching on That's Football as well. I need to do this every day at the end of every morning show. So the plan for today is... 2 o'clock show on the United Stand as normal. Beth will be on with that. We've got 5 o'clock on That's Football, which is Spain, Cape Verde. 7 o'clock live here for the evening show. And then 8 o'clock, That's Football for Belgium against Egypt. And then 11 p.m, it's Uruguay against Saudi Arabia. So that's our day if you want to factor it in. So 2 o'clock back here, 5 o'clock Spain on That's Football, 7 o'clock back here, 8 o'clock Belgium, Egypt on That's Football, and then 11 p.m. Uruguay against Saudi. And I've got to say, I'm loving the World Cup and I'm loving the community we've got over there. But as I've said to you, United stand will be the priority and we're busy here. There's stuff going on. So could be a big week for Man United. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Please do subscribe to the channel, by the way, because we are getting close to 270,000. It'd be great to hit 275 this summer. So please do subscribe. Remember, we're live every morning at 10 o'clock. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.